This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Okay, well, the dust has settled. The Bills have their 2025 NFL draft class, and as quickly as it got here, it goes away. It's kind of like Thanksgiving dinner. You build it up, you build it up, you build it up, you consume it, and then, all right, you sit back and you digest it, Matt. Welcome back in, buddy.
We sit here and we talk about the NFL draft for 2 months, and then all of a sudden, 3 days later, it's done. It's so much more fun talking about what could happen than what has happened, but that's what we're going to do tonight.
No doubt about it. We're going to bring you the 2025 draft class. We're going to analyze it here after we've had a chance to digest it all here, and it's always game day in Buffalo. Thank you so much for the great many of you who've come along the last weekend to consume the content we've been putting out. We really appreciate that. It means a lot. Make sure you throw some likes and reviews and everything else and tell everybody about it as well. You can find us on audio, on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you pod, and of course, video at Sal Sports. Before we get to the draft, though, Mr. Matt Bove, we have a special guest that we are going to bring in today because we have a young man who had an incredible opportunity, an incredible moment at the NFL draft, Tommy Parzamiso, who was granted a wish by Make-A-Wish to announce the Buffalo Bills' first pick. And he joins us now. And it's always game day in Buffalo. Tommy,
what's up, buddy? What's going
on? Hey, man. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How's it going?
We're doing well. Good. We're doing well, buddy. We're doing well. All right. So I think a lot of people, Tommy, probably saw the viral video of you meeting Brandon Bean and Brandon Bean, the Bills GM, saying, hey, Tommy, we'd like you to go to Green Bay to announce the Bills' first pick. So what was your experience like on draft night in Green Bay?
It was definitely a lot of cool stuff. Like, we met the NFL Live crew on from ESPN show, and then looked at kind of the draft before, going on stage first to practice how I would announce it, kind of, and then just seeing how I would get there and stuff. But yeah, very cool, and also met a lot of the prospects from signatures and stuff like that.
Tommy, what was it like finding out that you were going to get to do this experience? Because I know Sal and I both saw the video, but can you explain a little bit what the process was like and how ultimately this ended up actually happening?
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely very nervous at the beginning, and I didn't really know why I was at the Bills facility. Really, I just knew it was going to be a tour. I didn't expect much out of it. And then even when they said it was going to be Banner Brenderman, I just thought I was going to say hi to them, but no, it ended up being a full conversation. Then he told me the news and thought that we're going to Green Bay.
Love that. He asked you who you thought the Bills should take as well. I love it. You were telling him, giving him tips and pointers. We'll get to that in a little while. But then you get to Green Bay. Did you get to meet the commissioner, Roger Goodell, who's from Jamestown, New York? And what about other people? What was your experience like as far as who you got to meet and what you were able to do?
Yeah, well, I was able to meet Roger Goodell when I was close to my turn to announce the pick.
Oh, nice. Nice picture. That's awesome.
Yeah.
What did you guys talk about? Was he nice?
Yeah, he was nice. Yeah, we just kind of talked about just football and stuff like that, and about obviously that he's from close to our area and stuff, and that and then he just told stories and stuff. And then like I let him know about my interest in coaching. He kind of helped me on it.
That's awesome. You have an interest. You want to be a coach someday. You want to coach football?
Yeah, that's the goal.
What do you want to specialize in? Offense, defense, special teams, what?
Hopefully offense.
Okay.
Whatever position works.
I love it.
When did you first discover your love for football? When was this something that, you know, became a passion of yours?
I want to say since I was like 7 or 8, probably.
Okay. Very cool. And just a love for football, like grew up a Bills fan, I'm assuming, always around it, that kind of stuff.
I didn't start Bills fan, but I did like probably around like 2015, I became a Bills fan.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, what'd you start? What was your favorite team before Bills?
The Raiders, I think.
Okay. Hey,
nothing wrong with that. Raiders are a national brand, right? But you know, you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm tired of all this losing. The Bills were losing, though, which is crazy. It wasn't like you jumped on the bandwagon after they got Josh Allen and they started to get good. So you've seen both sides of it. We just saw a picture with you and Roger Goodell. We see a picture with you with the NFL Live crew. All right, I love it. Marcus Spears, and there's Mina Kimes, there's Dan Orlovsky, Adam Schefter. It's great. And how about this one? This is Maxwell Harrison.
I was going to say, that looks like Max Harrison. Yeah. You met him before you even announced his name on stage, Tommy?
Yeah. I had no idea that Bills were going to pick him. I mean, I had a feeling because of the position and all that stuff, but I was surprised that it was cool to meet him before we made the announcement on him coming.
Didn't you tell Brandon Bean that you should pick a cornerback? Is that what you said in that video? You did. You called it, brother. I love it. All right. How about this one, though, Matt? Check this out. This is Tommy. Here you go, everybody. If you're watching, if you're listening on the audio side, you don't get this great treat. You got to watch this on video. Here he is on stage.
That's so cool.
Look at this. This is Maxwell Harrison, Tommy Parzamiso, and Roger Goodell. Amazing.
Tommy, you got to keep that picture for the rest of your life. That's the coolest picture. I got that framed, hang that in the house, do everything.
Yeah. Anywhere I can get to put somewhere.
You got it. Absolutely. Go ahead, Matt.
So, Tommy, what is it like? Like, do they give you – how much of a heads up do you have? Because what if it's – Max Hairston is a relatively simple name, but I would imagine you're probably a bit nervous, right, as you're going out on stage. How much of a heads up do you have to practice the name before you have to say it in front of the entire country?
I got it probably a minute or so before it came out on stage. Oh, it was definitely easy, but if it was a hard name, I probably they would help me probably pronounce it right before I make the pick.
Well, we're sitting in the media room, we're watching about some of the players that they could take, and one of them is the pass rusher from Boston College. What is it, Donovan Azaraku? I think is how you pronounce it.
And like, I'm like, I think it's Azaraku. We had a debate in the media room.
So Tommy, you got lucky. You had to say Max Hairston instead of Azaraku. A little easier to say.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I was practicing with names like Donovan Azaraku.
I love it. All right, so earlier. I'm sure you like Max Hairston as a pick for the Bills because you wanted a corner. What do you think about him as not only a football player, but after meeting him and how he fits in with the Buffalo Bills?
He fits in nicely. I mean, I'm a big fan of his speed that he brings to the table.
Yeah.
Because he ran a very fast 40 time at the combine, and I just think he definitely was the biggest type of need we needed because I feel like our secondary needs a lot of speed, I feel like. And that it was definitely shown in our playoff loss in the AFC Championship that like our secondary couldn't keep up with the Chiefs receivers, and I think he'll be able to keep up with them a lot easier with the faster corner.
I agree, Tommy. Hey, you can't teach speed. You can't coach speed. Listen, they needed to add some speed on the back end, and that's exactly what they did. I know this has been a probably crazy couple weeks for you and for your family. I'm so happy that you got to experience all of this, but we also did hear that you guys are having a fundraiser in a little bit here. Can you tell everybody a little bit about the fundraiser, what it's about, and kind of what the money is going for?
Yeah, so the fundraiser is called Team Tommy. It's going to be Saturday the 5th or 6th, I believe, and
Saturday's the 3rd, just so you know, it'll be May 3rd on Saturday, but go ahead, Tommy, we got you, buddy, go ahead.
It'll be May 3rd, 7 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Wings Foundation headquarters or in Orchard Park, and yeah, it's going to be fun. There's going to be like games. There's going to be like live music, food. And it's all to like raise money so that I can like raise enough money for like home modifications mm-hmm. to make that's what's possible from in my house. And like a portable folding wire lift to help me get around places and stuff. And then a travel wheelchair that I can take on planes so I can go places like the Make-A-Wish kind of a lot easier. Okay.
I want to just read. I got this from your mom. She sent this to me, and just want to be able to read this so everybody knows. Hold on, let's put this on the screen. That's you. There's the foundation's website. All right. So everybody understands the fundraiser is going to look to fund home modifications, as you said, and purchase medical equipment that's going to allow Tommy to have a safe and accessible home and enjoy a great quality of life out in the community. It is called Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Did I say that right, Tommy? Is it Duchenne muscular dystrophy? Is that how you do it?
Yep.
Okay. Duchenne muscular dystrophy is a progressive and life-limiting muscle wasting disorder that affects the skeletal muscles, the heart, and the lungs. When Tommy started high school, he was still walking. 2 years later, nearly fully dependent on a power wheelchair, and that's why this fundraiser is happening for people like Tommy and others like yourself, Tommy.
Yep.
So there you go.
Tommy, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast. I think, you know, as two Western New York natives like Sal and I think it's so cool that you, another Western New Yorker, got to experience something so memorable, and that had to be a dream come true. Obviously, we wish you nothing but the best, and hopefully this fundraiser is an absolute home run. It's as great as the Max Hairston pick, right, Tommy?
You got it. And Tommy, before we go, I want to give everybody to say it. I'll say it for people in case they're not watching. It's givebutter.com. That's givebutter.com/C/ Team Tommy fundraiser. Really easy. All right. It's at the Wings Flights and Hope, which is right near the stadium, by the way, right over there in Orchard Park, which is really cool. So I've been over there. Matt, you know all the great work that they do over at Wings. It's unbelievable how they
help unbelievable.
You know, so that's great. Tommy, real quick, before I let you go, Matt and I are about to talk about the entire draft class. So here it is on the screen. All right, you tell me, what do you think about this draft class for 2025, buddy?
That was pretty good. Definitely covered all the needs I feel like we needed. As we cover cornerback, we took three cornerbacks. We improved the pass rush, which you always have to improve, I feel like.
Yep.
And our interior defensive tackle, and I like that we boosted that up, adding two more guys to the defensive tackle position. So, I don't know. I think pretty good about this draft class.
Tommy's talking like a coach.
I love it.
He's already talking like a coach. Thanks, all right. Tommy.
Fundraiser is this Saturday, May 3rd. All right, if everybody's listening, you want to check it out, go to that website I just talked about at givebutter.com/C/TeamTommyFundraiser. You're going to learn a lot more about it. Tommy Parzamiso, great job, Tommy.
Thanks, Tommy.
You, buddy.
Appreciate you,
Thanks a lot. Tell your mom and all your family, thank you for reaching out. I'm really, really happy that they did and really glad that we were able to do this, buddy. Thank you so much.
Yep. My pleasure.
You got it.
Have a good night, Tommy. Thank you.
Tommy Parzamiso. All right. There you go. How about that for Tommy? That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Very cool. What a moment, right? And like, that's just one of those pictures that for the rest of his life, that should be on a wall in the house. Probably should find a way to get Max Hairston to sign it. I'm sure that that's something that could very easily be set up and organized, but really, really cool moment for him and his family.
All right. Well, thank you very much to Tommy Parzamiso. Thanks to his family for reaching out to me. I'm really glad they did that. And I hope you enjoyed that, everybody. And you can help out with Tommy and the fundraiser and go to that website. If you can't go to the fundraiser, of course, a chance to donate and help out people just like Tommy and not only Tommy. All right. So the 2025 draft class is in the books. Matt, we talked a lot about what happened night one and night two. Let's get to day three, where the Bills added, surprise, surprise, more defensive help. In fact, six of the first seven draft picks by Brandon Bean were on the defensive side. It was like Oprah handing out cars. You get a car, you get a car. And this is, you get a defender, you get a defender, you get a defender to all of his position coaches. I think it clearly said something about the Buffalo Bills and what they think about their current roster.
I agree with most of what you said. I think that after hearing Brandon Bean talk to us on Saturday night about why he made the picks he did, I understand that, and it's kind of what I expected him to say. The one still thing that I wish they would have done is addressed wide receiver before their last pick. Mm-hmm. Now, he says the board just didn't fall that way. I feel like sometimes you need to manipulate the board to make something happen, or to make sure that you are giving yourself, you know, just another weapon offensively. I don't want to keep bringing up the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. But to me, this would have been a, like, I think Deion Walker is an interesting pick with upside. But if that would have been a receiver, I would have been like, yeah, this is a really, really good draft for the Bills. So I still like it. I would have loved it if they would have had a receiver selected before the final pick.
All right, so the final pick was Caden Prather. You see that there. We're putting the draft class on the screen right now for everybody watching. Caden Prather, wide receiver out of Maryland, a little bit bigger body, who actually has speed for a bigger guy. He's 6'3", does run pretty well, actually, straight line speed. What's interesting, though, about Brandon Bean's comment was he kind of admitted, Matt, that that pick was not actually on their board. I mean, like, I shouldn't say the highest ranked player. He said all the way until the very end of the draft, we stuck
the very end,
meaning that pick to me, they said we need a wide receiver, right?
Yeah,
so exactly. they stayed with the board until then, and they went with a wide receiver. What concerns you about this wide receiver group so much so that you have, you know, talked about this a lot?
Well, I mean, I'm still not sold on what Keon Coleman is. Like, mm-hmm. Keon Coleman pre-injury was a different player than post-injury. Mm-hmm. But even a full season of Keon Coleman pre-injury was still a bit inconsistent. So if you're banking on him taking another step, which I think they are, that's fine. But what if he doesn't? Or what if it's a similar year to what we just saw? I don't know if they have enough other options besides, like, Khalil Shakir, rock solid. Totally understand that. Josh Palmer's joining a new team. Like, they think he's going to be a very nice addition for them. But what if there's some growing pains? Curtis Samuel was banged up all of last season. What if one of these guys gets hurt? I just think that you're putting a little bit too much pressure or faith into the four main guys that you already have in your room. They don't have the luxury of having a player like Matt Collins right now, who they just know is going to be reliable and dependable and who can play snaps for them. Like, they need to get that out of somebody right now. And I don't know exactly who it's going to be. I just thought that they could have used kind of an influx of speed and a little bit of a different skill set than they currently have.
There are reports of receivers being added post-draft, UDFA, undrafted free agents. We'll get the full list once the Bills, you know, make it official. But there are some of those. But those are just undrafted free agents. Many times those guys just don't really have a really great chance to make the team. They'll get opportunity. They just won't. Usually doesn't work out. You never know. That being said, I think it's safe to say, though, Matt, and I understand your concerns for sure. I get it. I think it's safe to say what this boils down to is the Buffalo Bills believe that Keon Coleman, Curtis Samuel, and Dalton Kincaid will all be better than they were last year and more reliable than they were last year. And that includes health, and that includes play on the field, right? I think that's where we are. And look, I do think if you're going to say all three of them, I mean, that's a lot to ask, right? That all three will have this jump. But
better
at least
get two of three.
That's
better,
right. Better get two of three. I agree with you. I think two out of the three have to be better. They have to be more available and more productive.
I almost feel like those three players that we just specifically mentioned are the poster players for the change that they made in their strength and conditioning staff, right? Like, they need more out of those guys, whether that's playing through injuries or recovering faster so they could get back fully to speed. All three of those players, that was a problem this past season, right? With Keon Coleman, it was not getting back soon enough, and once he got back, he wasn't right. With Curtis Samuel, it was lingering injuries all year, and it sounded like it was the same thing for Dalton Kincaid and just, you know, not being strong enough to withstand the 17-game NFL regular season. So, yeah, they need more out of at least a couple of those guys. And the one thing, I don't want to harp on this too much, but Brandon Bean was like, you know, our offense did pretty good last year. Like, I think that he said, hey, this is what we did last year. On paper, we haven't proven anything yet this year. I agree, but I feel like you need to still change things up a little bit and add new wrinkles here and there to make sure that you don't slip up, right? If you're betting on anybody, betting on the NFL MVP to get the most out of a group is probably a pretty safe bet. But I still think that there's times when he could get a little bit more help than the Bills have given him.
So we've kind of worked backward here by starting with Caden Prather and the wide receiver group. No, it's good. I'm glad you did, because it's obviously needs to be said and needs to be talked about, because, Matt, I think a lot of people share your concerns. I mean, we've heard from people at Sal Sports at Matt_Bove who've just today, even. I can't believe they didn't get a receiver. They needed a receiver. Yeah. I totally get it. And that might be the overarching sentiment from a lot of people on what they didn't do in the draft. What did they do, though? They clearly focused on defense. We know that. And even the defensive line. We left and we had our podcast on Friday night. And then on Saturday, they get right back to the draft. And it's another defensive tackle. It's Deion Walker. And oh, by the way, another Kentucky player to pair up with Max Hairston. This is a player that I talked about on the radio a little bit. We talked about a little bit. Once Max Hairston was drafted, he was even asked about it. Could Deion Walker possibly join you? It's because he was such a big guy, over 300 pounds. I do want to caution people, even though he's that, he's more athletic than he is anchor. That being said, I think the Bills still wanted a guy that could be able, as Brandon Bean said, to play the one technique, even though he necessarily hasn't done it a ton in college, but they feel that he might be able to at the NFL, and they'll see where he fits.
They're projecting, the Bills are projecting, that he's going to be able to kind of fit schematically what they do and on defense, and I'm sure that he'll be able to figure something out here. It's interesting hearing Brandon Bean talk about it. I thought he was pretty candid and said, hey, his 2024 season was not great. This is kind of based off of what he did in 2023. He also peeled back the curtain a little bit and said, like, we give guys a year away from getting drafted an initial grade, and then we go back and we tweak their grade as time goes on after they play another season. Brandon Bean told us that Brandon Bean had a first-round grade, or believed that Deion Walker would go in the first round if he was eligible to be drafted last year. He comes back, he struggles, he goes to the combine, and then figures out that he's had a lingering back injury that probably, no pun intended, held him back for most of the 2024 season. So for Bean, I think they're probably thinking, like, hey, a year ago, this guy would have been a first-round pick. Yeah, he wasn't good in 2024, but the back injury has to play part of it, right? So yeah, they're projecting a little bit. I want to say, though, this is just like a football note. I think when immediately people see the size of a defensive tackle, they go, oh, one technique. Yeah. I don't think that's fair, right? Like,
I agree.
Deion Walker is not Alfred Collins.
Let me say this, because I think I probably misstated it about maybe a couple of minutes ago. I'll try to clean up what I meant.
No, you did a good job explaining it.
He played all over their defensive line.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't like he was not a one or a three or whatever. He played a little bit on the edge in a 3-4. I mean, they didn't pigeonhole him. They just said, you know why, though? He's an athletic guy for his size. The issue of him playing at the NFL level to play the one technique, he does play too high sometimes. This is noted. Even Brandon Bean talked about it. A lot of analysts have talked about it. He stands up because he's an athletic guy. But how much of that was the back injury that didn't allow him to get down and get low, where he could be someone that might be able to do that with, you know, having more health?
Yeah, leverage is a hell of a thing, right?
Yeah, right.
When you're that big, you know, and if you got a back injury, you probably want to get up as quick as possible. No so doubt. They're going to – Bean said – that if there was a game right now, he would be ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to kind of be overly cautious with it. That, to me, I don't know if I took more positive or negative out of that. The overly cautious is always a little bit like put it in the back burner of like, oh, like I wonder if we're going to be talking about his availability in the summer, right? Like, I don't know. But he's a fourth-round pick. So you can probably be patient with a 21-year-old fourth-round pick. Like newly 21, I think. I think he just turned 21. So I'm sure they're going to be patient. This is not TJ Sanders. This is not Max Hairston. Like, you need those guys to be ready because they're going to play a lot. If Deion Walker is healthy, he'll probably play, but I don't think it'll be right out of the gate, you know, 40, 50, 60% of snaps or anything like that.
All right, let's talk about both the fifth and sixth round picks that are defensive backs, Jordan Hancock and Dorian Strong. We'll lump them together here because these are both guys that have some versatility, but in different ways. Jordan Hancock, even Brandon Bean said, he could play some safety. They're going to start him up at safety and nickel. He sounds like he's Cam Lewis.
Yeah, house cleaning note. I think Dorian Strong was the sixth round pick.
Yes,
I think Jackson Hawes was the fifth round pick.
They're both, sorry, Hancock and Hawes are both five. Dorian Strong was six.
Yes, exactly.
I know. What I'm saying, though, is I want to talk about the two DBs together.
Oh,
I said, let's skip over Jackson Hawes for a second.
Okay.
My point is, let's lump the two DBs together, a fifth and a sixth. Sorry about that. They had three picks. Two of them were DBs in these rounds. So let's just talk about both of them because they both have versatility. Mm-hmm. Jordan Hancock's versatility is safety nickel, right? He's not an outside guy. The versatility for Dorian Strong is outside guy who might be able to play a little inside. Sounds like he's an outside guy to me. He likes to play press man. Look at his body. And oh, by the way, his dad is a competitive bodybuilder and weightlifter. You think this kid doesn't want to be physical? He's been around it his whole life. So they got, to me, kind of a Cam Lewis type of player in you know, backup, clone, whatever. I mean, replacement. I don't know what however want to shake out. I think Cam Lewis is a good player for them. I think they got in Dorian Strong, another competitor for the outside corner spot, which, oh, by the way, they already drafted Maxwell Hairston. They signed Tre'Davious White and they signed Dane Jackson.
Yeah, I think that the Bills are, even though they claim that they just went best available down the board, they're telling us what they think they needed to get better at, and it was on the defensive line and at cornerback. Like, you wouldn't continue to kind of hammer home these two positions if you didn't think that this was an area where you needed an influx of talent. So a week and a half ago, I would have said, oh, yeah, Dane Jackson's on this team, right? Like, we were talking about Dane Jackson potentially having to get snaps or be their third cornerback like a week and a half ago. Then they signed Tre' White. Then they draft Max Hairston. Now they bring in this guy or these two guys. I don't know if it's a foregone conclusion that Dane Jackson's just on the team because he's always been on the team.
Agreed.
I would say it's a betting. It's a better chance he makes it than doesn't. But all of these guys that have kind of been in those roles for a couple of years now, Dane Jackson, even though he left for the year, Cam Lewis, Jamarcus Ingram, you know, if I guess DeMar's a little different, but like, yeah, like it's not a slam dunk that all these guys are making the team. They are trying to find somebody to compete with them.
I agree with you. And look, I'm sure that, you know, it's a long shot, but let's not forget, they still have Daquan Hardy and Tecori Couch on the team as well. And both these guys actually did some nice things in training camp last year. Daquan Hardy came close to winning the return job. They ultimately traded for Brandon Codrington because they didn't trust him totally. Tecori Couch, I thought he had a couple of nice moments. But these guys, you know, they're probably on the practice squad again if they even get there. But these are guys they're bringing in. They're competing. I mean, right now, Matt, on the roster at corner, this is the most, I think, other than offensive line, which you can imagine, and understand, they have more guys at corner than any other position on the team. Taron Johnson, Christian Benford, Max Hairston, Tre'Davious White, Dane Jackson, Jamarcus Ingram, Jordan Hancock, Dorian Strong, Daquan Hardy, Tecori Couch. That's 10. And I'm not even counting Cam Lewis, who's actually the backup nickel. That's 11.
It's crazy. Yeah, they're building competition, which I think is smart. I mean, I would have thought it was smarter to have one less guy in that competition and have another wide receiver or something. But hey, that's okay. Not going to harp on it even more, even though I've already harped on it several times. I like the Dorian Strong pick. You know, you do more research on these guys once they've been picked, because obviously now you need to. It feels like Dorian Strong's a player a lot of people think could be like a diamond in the rough, just because of the skill set, because of how the Bills play defense and how he'll be able to help them. So keep an eye on that. Like, I feel like Dorian Strong could be somebody who could pop in here and make an impact. It's tough because he doesn't really have a path anywhere. Mm-hmm. Him surprising would be making the 53-man roster. That would be a, hey, really solid, impressive first year, right?
Yeah, doesn't he scream, though? Like, this is a guy that he will play all teams. Like,
yeah,
like, right. Doesn't he kind of fit the bill of what they like on special teams, like on all of those different special teams units they have?
Yeah. Him and Hancock, both of those guys will probably be just like all over the place. And, you know, you talk about the rule changes and everything, too. Maybe it's strategic. Maybe they want to have a few more fast guys available as opposed to maybe some of the bigger bodied players that would normally be in that situation.
Well, Sean McDermott did tell us at the scouting combine they might have to put a little bit more of a priority and premium and have a couple extra special teams core players, because you're gonna have to cover more kicks now, and you know, with the new rules with the touchbacks. All right, speaking of having an opportunity to play, how about this? Jackson Hawes, a fifth round tight end out of Georgia Tech, who, oh, by the way, spent 5 years at Yale, got an economics degree at Yale. I mean, he's a smart guy, obviously. He is the prototypical throwback blocking tight end. This guy is on the roster, right? I mean, there's no way he can't be. He's a fifth round pick, and they don't have that guy right now, because they actually did sort of kind of in Quentin Morris, but he wasn't even like this. Quentin Morris was more of a blocker, but he also can kind of go out for the kind of, you know, go down the field a little bit. This guy is just, he's just going to line up and block. I think this guy actually, here's the way I'll say it. Tell me if you agree. I think Jackson Hawes could replace Alec Anderson as your extra lineman, and Alec Anderson could actually try to win a job.
I was going to say, expect Jackson Hawes to find himself somewhere between the Quentin Morris and Alec Anderson role.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's going to be on the field kind of a lot, right? Like, elite blocker is the way that everybody describes him. Best blocking tight end in the class is how it was written about him before, you know, the draft started. So for the Bills to go out and get a guy like that, like, they're going to need somebody in their, you know, pass catching rooms to make a difference there. Last year it was Mac Hollins. He's not there anymore. So I think we're going to see Jackson Hawes on the field a lot.
Yeah, and by the way, he takes pride in it, right? I mean, he talked about it.
Talked about it, he was like, I feel like I've got lasers coming out of my eyes that lock onto the opponent because that's the enemy. He's like, guy who went to Yale. Yes. He was like, I love the violent part of football. I love being violent. Yes. And I'm like, hey, man, if you're going to do it somewhere where it's legal to do it.
Yeah. And by the way, the Bills, they do not, as I said, they do not have Quentin Morris anymore. Now, who knows? Maybe they re-sign Quentin Morris. He's still a free agent. We'll see. Maybe they like competition. Yeah. They still have to sign some guys. Reggie Gilliam is back, though. They did re-sign Reggie Gilliam, obviously. So, you know, he's also that blocking fullback tight end. So it is interesting how they'll want to shape their roster as far as personnel packages. Now, that's stuff that's down the road, but I do think Jackson Hawes makes this roster as a third tight end because they love to carry a guy just like that. All right. And then you had a guy named Chase Lunt. First of all, this guy, I felt so bad for him. He told us he was prank called like four or five times. I mean, who does this stuff? I mean, that story came out today and it was that Jeff Ulbrich's kid.
How crazy is that?
Unbelievable, right? I mean,
the former head coach of the New York Jets. If you didn't
tell everybody the story in case they didn't know.
So apparently, sorry, I just put in a cough.
Not even apparently. It's like he admitted it.
Well, no, I was going to say apparently the directory of phone numbers or something, Shedeur Sanders' phone number was available to the Falcons staff, including Ulbrich. And that somehow was seen by his son, who then decided to prank him. So I don't know if there was like all of the numbers of the players they had on an iPad or whatever it was, but he got the number from, you know, the Falcons directory or contact list or whatever it is. And then they called Shedeur Sanders. And apparently there's also some people who think they also called other prospects. Like, it's not just Shedeur. Like, there's other top prospects that they were also calling. So like, I don't know if they were calling Chase Lunt too, but there's rumors or reports out there that they were also calling other top end prospects.
He has since gone to social media and apologized. The Falcons, who his dad works for now, have put out a statement, you know, basically saying that obviously not inexcusable, this type of thing. And they apologized to Shedeur and to the NFL. And look, whether it's that particular incident or any of the others that we heard about that happened throughout the weekend, these are these people's, the biggest moment of their lives, of their family and friends. We have to be better than that, people. We just have to be better than that and help people be better than that, right? Because it just doesn't make sense to do something like that. It's a 21-year-old kid. Hopefully, you know, he is very, very remorseful. And the words that he wrote are true. And, you know, he learns from this. And, you know, I think Shedeur, for waiting as long as he did, I was glad for me. I know that people have their own opinions about this guy. He's very polarizing. I was happy to see him finally get drafted because I think that that is something that, you know, you wait your whole life for. You think it's going to happen. You don't. He was waiting and waiting and waiting. And I think it was really cool that he treated it pretty well with the Cleveland Browns after that.
Yeah, for sure. But did you see the clip of Barry and Stefanski? Yeah.
I did. They look like they were golf clapping, right?
They didn't even look like they were clapping. They were just kind of like standing there while like the people behind them are clapping.
I thought I saw Barry clapping like this, though.
That immediately created a firestorm of like, was this even their decision?
Right.
Was this a Haslam pick? Did Haslam say like, hey, we're drafting Shedeur Sanders? This is a tangent we don't need to get off to. But yeah, Lunt said that he got prank called like six or seven times. So it kind of had him on the edge and on his toes. So he didn't enjoy the moment, I think, as much as he thought he would, because he didn't even know if it was real when it was happening. But for the Bills to call him, very cool, good for him. It just felt like they were going to draft at least one offensive lineman, because they do it every single year late in the draft and hope it turns into something. UConn, Ryan Vandermark has worked out. They're probably trying to go back into that well again.
All right, so Thank you, by the way. Good job getting us back on track to Chase Lunt. Let me put up on the screen here for everybody the Bills offensive line room right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. It is a group that has everybody who started intact, everybody who was a backup intact. Deion Dawkins, Spencer Brown, Connor McGovern, Osiris Torrance, and David Edwards. Those were your five starters. The five backups were Alec Anderson, Tylan Grable, Ryan Vandermark, Cedric Van Pran Granger, and Richard Garage. They brought back Mike Edwards, the lineman, not the safety. They brought back Travis Clayton, who was the International Pathways Program pick. I do think, though, that Chase Lunt could wind up beating out one of these guys, meaning maybe a Ryan Vandermark, maybe a Tylan Grable. Tylan Grable beat out Ryan Vandermark. I think they like him that much that he could get a legitimate shot to win maybe the 10th offensive lineman spot.
Vandermark, yes. I don't see Grable. Now, that's knowing so little about Chase Lunt right now.
More than anybody, I guess.
Yeah. Tylan Grable, they liked Tylan Grable.
And Les, can I give you a scenario? Tell me if this sounds crazy to you, okay? You ready? Mm-hmm. Because Jackson Hawes can be the sixth lineman, Alec Anderson wins a starting guard spot, David Edwards is released, and then they keep Chase Lunt as another offensive lineman.
It doesn't sound crazy, but it doesn't sound like, to me, they would be messing with that now. I feel like that would be a conversation to be had if David Edwards needed a contract. Like, mm-hmm. He doesn't make a ton of money right now.
No, that's right. I agree.
For a starting guard, like why screw with continuity and hurt your depth?
It's the only spot that could possibly be up at all because you're not replacing Spencer Brown or Deion or Connor McGovern or Osiris Torrance, right?
Yeah, for sure. So just build in depth, you know, another name that you could have on another year to try and develop somebody if eventually you have to start moving things around.
Okay. Any lingering thoughts on the draft before we get to some questions?
I like it. I like the draft class.
Let me ask you this. Do you have a favorite pick and a least favorite pick?
Yeah, my favorite pick, it's between TJ Sanders and Landon Jackson. I'll say Landon Jackson based off of strictly value. I thought they could take Landon Jackson in the second round. And then they traded back, they trade up for TJ Sanders and they were still able to get him early in the third round. I just think that he's going to be a player that sees the field a pretty decent amount and he's got a skill set that's going to thrive here. But during the pre-draft process, like so many people talked to me about TJ Sanders and how good of a fit he would be with the Bills. So I do feel like that's kind of lingering in the back of my head of like, man, a lot of people who are smart really think that he's going to be a good fit. So who knows what he could actually provide to them. So those are the two that I would immediately go to. My least favorite pick is not Deion Walker. It's how they used the pick in the fourth round by trading up and drafting another defensive tackle. I really liked Jalen Royals. I really liked Horton from Colorado State. I really liked, there's a couple other guys. And yeah, they just didn't go that route.
I think my favorite is Landon Jackson for a lot of the reasons you gave. I think this kid's going to play in the league for a while. I think he's got incredible measurables. I love talking to him. Love the fact that he has a micro golden doodle.
Did you see the mean comment? Did you see the mean comment somebody left us in the comments about that?
No.
It wasn't a mean comment, but I'll bring it up because I read the comments probably more than I should. It's not a breed. He was like, how stupid of you two to call that a breed? It's like, it's the exact opposite because it's a mutt, because it's two breeds mixed to what. So it's like, okay.
Thank you, commenter who is a dog expert. I just love to hug on dogs, okay? I love to pet dogs. I love to be around dogs. I'm not a dog expert.
Yeah, well, so it's not a dog breed. It's two breeds combined into one, making it a mutt.
Oh, yeah.
So it's semantics.
Well, I think Landon Jackson is my favorite pick for that reason. I just think that this is a guy that really we could be talking about, having a really, I think he's got a really good floor for an NFL career. And I think he could have a really high ceiling, but we could be talking about him, down the road, really making an impact. My least favorite has nothing to do with the actual player. It's taking Caden Prather in the seventh round. At that point, I'm like, why even do it, to be honest with you? To talk about wide receiver. If you're going to take a wide receiver.
So people can't say they didn't draft a wide receiver.
Right. At that point, I'm like, you didn't do it. And this guy's, to me, I'll go back to what I said the other day. I think Tyrell Shavers has a better chance to make the team than him. right? So what is the competition there? What's he doing? I don't know if he's really raising the floor of that group. So if you're going to take a receiver, maybe do it earlier for a guy that might have a better chance. You're just adding to the mix at that point. Yeah, I didn't love that. By the way, we got a few people who let me put to rest a couple of things, okay? Because I heard a lot of this going on. Some lingering thoughts I had today. And maybe these are questions too, and I don't know. I didn't see the questions you're going to ask, but this could answer some questions. First of all, I'd said for a while, I didn't think the Bills were interested in drafting a safety early. I think we all have the answer. Yes, they got a guy that can maybe play safety. They're going to try him safety at corner, total depth piece. They are very comfortable with their safeties, even if fans aren't. I know that there was talk out there, and our buddy Joe Biscaglia, who's always, on the Puntapalooza, talking about getting a punter. I've always felt that two punter was probably where they would land. I wouldn't doubt they do bring one in and maybe move Brad Robbins over. I can't see a third punter on the roster. I guess they did invite a UDFA guy, the guy from Buffalo, right? UB. I think they.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
On a tryout for a rookie minicamp. So, okay. I think they like Jake Kamada is what it is.
Yeah.
So I didn't think that would happen. And then the last one is, I was even a little surprised at this, even though I never thought they were high on linebacker, like bringing one in, they didn't draft any, Matt. Like, I thought maybe you'd get a guy there, play special teams to just kind of have, okay, back pocket here, Matt Milano last year, all the things we talked about, didn't think were a replacement, but even I thought, I was interested in that. That's where Sean Dolek came into me in the seventh round, actually, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, for sure. They must like Ulufoshio more than maybe we're giving them credit for.
Yep.
Or Baylen Specter. We know that they like their main two guys in Dorian Williams. We know that they like all three of those guys. It's who's going to be your fourth linebacker, who's going to be your fifth linebacker. Right now, what would you say? The betting favorites are Ulufoshio and Specter? Probably. Am I forgetting anybody? I mean, Joe Andreessen. He won the job last year.
I think Joe Andreessen is going to beat out Baylen Specter because Baylen Specter can't stay healthy.
I would agree. I'm not as high on Baylen Specter as some people are. He just kind of is always, continuous.
He's going to the last year of his deal. You just kind of like, I mean, yeah. Let's remember, there are two distinct positions. Now, I know they train these guys at different at both positions, but to me, it's your Mike linebackers are Terrell Bernard and Joe Andreessen, and then Baylen Specter is third, and I think Joe beats him out. And then your Will linebackers are Matt Milano, Dorian Williams, and Eddie Ulufoshio. I think that's how it shakes out right now.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for handling the lingering thoughts.
What do you got for questions?
A lot of them. Are we deja vu all over and again, fear bunkering with Royals like we did with Worthy last year? I'll start with this one. No, because it's not like the Bills traded the pick to the Chiefs for them to take Jalen Royals. And it also happened in the fourth round, right? A lot of teams passed on Jalen Royals a lot of times. I liked him too. I was like, I want to bet on the upside. I want to bet on the talent. I will say, I feel like there's this misconception. This isn't to Andrew. This is just in general. I feel like there's this misconception that everybody who ends up on the Chiefs ends up being really good. And that's not to go back to the exercise we did, but they have misses too. So Jalen Royals might be awesome, but there's a better chance he's not awesome. So I'm not going to freak out about it just yet.
What round was he drafted in?
The fourth.
I mean, 32 teams had multiple chances at him also, and other receivers were drafted. So
if he
also has Patrick Mahomes throwing to him, so he could very well be really good. Who knows?
All right, this is another one.
I cut you off when you're talking about the scoring winning touchdown.
What is the current situation with Isaiah Bond? The Bills appeared to do a lot of homework on him. I don't want to speculate, but I will speculate if I have to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I didn't know if you were going to talk.
No, clearly, you were going to answer.
Clearly, he was off a lot of teams' boards. They probably did a lot of research. Not probably. They definitely did a lot of research and more than likely did not like what they found. So that's why he did not get drafted. Because from a talent standpoint, it would have been a no-brainer, right? If the Bills were doing homework on him, it's because they planned on using probably a notable asset on him, maybe even one of the second-round picks. The fact that he did not get touched, to me, probably says he was off their board because of the legal situation that he's currently in.
I would agree with that. All right.
Right. And a lot of people would probably, a lot of teams would do the same thing. All right. Anthony Marino.
Before you go to the next question from Anthony, just on wide receiver, I did see a few questions to us about Amari Cooper.
That's his question. Anthony's question is about Amari Cooper. And I'll answer. Bills bring back Amari Cooper.
Okay. I'm not going to say that they shouldn't. I don't think they should right now. I think you go into this summer and see what you have in your group. If somebody snags Amari Cooper, fine. There are other veterans out there. Keenan Allen is still unsigned. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are guys out there that you can sign. I don't think you have to have some rush. From a Bills perspective, obviously they don't have any rush to do that. They want these guys they have. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, as who was it that said this to me in the media room? I want to give credit because I think it was either Josh Reed or Andy Young. One of them were sitting right and left of me, said, look, I mean, when you get to trade deadline, a lot of times it's easier to get a guy like that than like a defensive end or a defensive lineman that might be able to make an impact. You don't have to have a rush on it. And veterans, I was told once this years ago, and it's true. When you have a veteran who's put a lot of time in this league, they're going to stay in shape. And you don't, if you bring him in August, you're going to be okay. Like not like a young guy who you have to bring in and get him into your weight program and all of that. So I guess a long way of me saying, wouldn't close it off. Wouldn't be opposed to it. I just don't think they should do it right now.
I would push back a little bit, though, on the comment about that they would be available at the deadline, because that's not wrong, but isn't this the proof that that's not always the best thing to do?
Sure.
He never just meshed well in Buffalo.
Even if you could do it, you're saying you need to get him earlier to make sure that he can kind of fit in.
Yeah, right? Sure. Like it's Brandon came out for that press conference after they traded for Amari Cooper and said it might be the hardest position to acclimate into in the middle of the season.
That's a good point.
And Amari Cooper just never felt like the first game was significant. And then after that, because I'm sure they were forcing him the ball a little bit in the first game, you know, try and get the confidence up, try and make it see they were winning the game pretty handily. Didn't really splash much after that. A couple nice plays, but not a ton. So I wouldn't hate the idea if it was super cheap. But if it cost a bunch of money, then I don't think I would be interested. And I'm sure there's a team out there that whiffed on trying to get a receiver that will probably be willing to pay him a bunch of money.
Probably. I'm going to see if I can. Let me just put this up on the screen for you here. I'm just adding this. Give me 1 second. It's going to take me a second to add it. Don't forget, speaking of adding us, make sure you add us to all your feeds out there. All right. It's Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove. It's always game day in Buffalo. This is all the Buffalo Bills wide receiver room. Okay. All right. So this is my loose depth chart. Do you agree with this? My depth chart?
I think right I would now? Put.
I have just always looking. Shakir, Coleman, Palmer, Samuel, Shavers, Hamler, Virgil, Chenault, and Prather.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
Okay.
Actually, no.
Okay.
I would put Chenault higher than Hamler and Virgil.
Oh, well, if Chenault is on the team, it's because he's returning kicks. He's not playing receiver, probably, right?
I mean,
this is a great point. I'm glad you're bringing this up, actually, Matt, because. Uh-huh. Actually, I think you're going to prove the point by you saying what I'm about to say, which is your fifth receiver has to play special teams.
Yeah.
You just have to. Amari Cooper's not doing that. Who are you bumping down? What like, if you go out and get a veteran receiver right now and you add to this team, where does he slot in? We could make the argument all day they should move on from Curtis Samuel. I think both of us agree they're not going to do that given the money, right? So where would he slot in? He's not playing over the top three, given who Shakir and Coleman are and the asset they invested in Coleman. Unless that's why I say you wait. You could see about Keon Coleman right now. It wouldn't. Josh Palmer makes $9 million a year. You could start to get to Curtis Samuel. I don't think that's going to happen. And then you got to have guys who play special teams, which is where your Chenault comes in.
Yeah, well, I think he would go. I would put him under Samuel. Honestly, I think he's ahead of Tyrell Shavers just because of. The special teams role that he could potentially play, and I just looked this up. Did you know
I'm talking about Cooper, though.
Oh, I was talking about LaVisca.
I know that. I know, but I'm saying if you signed Amari Cooper right now,
he would be above Samuel. He would be between Palmer and Samuel.
Okay, then Curtis Samuel, I mean, you'd have
be doing the same thing he did last year. As like the fifth wide receiver.
It wasn't enough.
No, absolutely. That's right. Absolutely. So it's weird because in theory, it needs to work the way it is, but they also have to produce and stay healthy. Mm-hmm. Because then the minute that doesn't, then all of a sudden we're talking about Tyrell Shavers or LaVisca Chenault as their fourth wide receiver, and that's a little bit concerning.
Agreed. I would say it's very interesting that Brandon Bean said after they signed Laviska Shenault the following week, during the press conference where he announced that Hoyt and Ogunjobi were both going to be suspended, I don't know if you caught the comment. He said, we liked Laviska Shenault when he came out of college.
Yeah.
As a receiver. Now, he also said he's going to be a kick returner. We'll see. But they did like him. So that was interesting.
They're always cooking. All right. This is a question. Clover in Texas. Last I saw, they have 76 players. Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate they will bring in more people and from where? So obviously, we don't know the full list of the UDFAs yet. But once we get that list, what is it going to be, around 80-ish?
No, they're going to sign, I believe. In fact, speaking of our buddy Joe Biscaglia, he had a tweet that had 12 on there.
Okay.
So that gets you to 88.
Okay, I didn't know if she was accounting any of the, so that's to 88. Okay.
Well, yeah, you're already got to, you have to account for the guys you drafted, because they go on your roster as a, even though they're not signed yet, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like they're on your roster. So that's 88. I think that's where you probably stop right now. I'm sorry. How many did the Bills have? Wait, what did I have here? I have 76. Yeah, 88. So you get to 88. Mm-hmm. I think this is how it's going to work for the Bills. This is my thought on it. Brandon Bean said they won't get to 90 yet. Mm-hmm. You know why? He said because they're going to have rookie tryouts at rookie minicamp. And if they like somebody, they can sign them. So you keep two spots open. You don't have to cut somebody. That's Joe Andreessen, right? That's what happened last year. Yeah, Joe Andreessen shows up at rookie tryouts. He signs a contract. I don't even know if they cut anybody. I can't remember. Uh-huh. Brandon Bean basically said, we're not going to get quite to 90. So to answer your question, Clover, 76 right now after the draft, sign 12 UDFAs. That gets you to 88. It keeps two open roster spots. See if you like anybody at tryouts, and then you can sign them. You don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. I'm going through some of the other questions. Why not Dolak is a question. I mean, probably just because they like the linebackers that they have.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we should at least carve out a minute for Sean Dolak.
Yeah,
that's fine. I love the fact that he's hooking on with the team. I'm very disappointed that nobody drafted him.
Yeah.
Anybody. I thought he should have been drafted. Just, you know, and I'm being biased here. I get it. He blew away lots of numbers when he had his pro day. If you go back to look at what some of these guys had at the combine, it's really his size. But you know what? He's kind of comparable to Matt Milano in size, to be quite honest with you, right? So he's a first team All-American. It stinks that he didn't get drafted. I'm rooting for him out in LA. I always defer to this, though, okay? There are 32 NFL teams. They went 7 rounds of drafting. There were close to 300 players drafted. Nobody drafted him. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm smarter than NFL scouts. I know they get it wrong. I get it. You're talking about 32 teams, all 7 rounds. No one drafted him. That's what they feel about him. I hope that he proves them wrong. But for anybody out there clamoring how the Bills made this huge mistake, well, then that's fine. All 32 teams made a lot of huge mistakes then over through 7 rounds with this.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I echo a lot of what you said. All right, we'll end with a fun question just because my voice is raw right now. If you haven't noticed, somebody in the comments was also like, Matt sounds like he's got a little bit of cold. It's like, yeah, I've barely talked for like 3 days. Did you know the day of the draft, I didn't talk until like 3:30 p.m. so I would be able to talk the night of the draft?
Glad that you were smart enough to do that, by the way.
Well, look what I have in front of me. I have cough drops.
Yes.
You told me about this, throat coat tea.
Yeah.
I've been drinking all weekend. Yeah, sort of. I mean, I still feel like I got hit by a bus, but whatever. All right. This is a question from 919 Bills fan. You're going to any concerts this summer? I've already seen Billy Strings twice, Marcus King Band. I have tickets to String Cheese Incident, a couple other people. So blah, blah, blah. Are you going to any concerts, Sal, this summer?
I don't have any planned right now. I am a huge Goo Goo Dolls fan. I would love to see them. I think they're coming August 9th. Don't know the Bills preseason, or I think I have to go look. I think it's KeyBank Center that night, so we could be out of town. I have to go look at the date on that, to be honest with you. But I'd love to see them. I've looked at the Darien Lake lineup. I've looked at the Art Park lineup, things like that. Nothing that really gets me going, oh, man, yeah, for sure. But usually there's something that comes up where someone says, hey, we're having a party there. There's something going on with Odyssey and WGR, and I show up, and it might not be because of the act. It might be because of the people you're hanging it with and the atmosphere.
I am not a huge concert guy. I like going to concerts, but I prefer to go to sporting events, and it's not like you can only be right? I fit more into the bucket of when we're in a different city, right, for a Bills game, I never look if there's a concert in town. I look what other sporting events are in town. That's what I always defer to. Is there a baseball team in town that week? Is there an NBA team? Is there a college football game? Is there something going on? So I don't have anything currently planned. I'll probably end up going to a country concert or two. My wife likes country music. I like country music. So I'll probably end up going to a country concert or two. But, you know, it's not like there's a one act that I'm just like, I have right now anyway, that I just have to see. I don't feel like that's the case for me.
I was right. The Goo Goo Dolls are coming to KeyBank Center on August 9th. That is actually the weekend I'll be playing in the Jim Kelly Celebrity Golf Classic. That Monday, the 10th is the gala, the night of the 10th. So that could be a fun packed weekend, pretty busy weekend for me, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I would love to see, I've not seen the Goo Goo Dolls. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see them at some point, and I'm sure that that'll be something that I try and do. August though is just,
did you know that the Bisons, like, their celebrity bobblehead this year is the Goo Goo Dolls?
Really? Is it both of them?
I can't say. I do know some things about it. They just announced Goo Goo Dolls. So
okay, all right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if all the details are out.
Sure.
Right. I would definitely expect Robbie, and he's from Buffalo. I mean, they're all from Buffalo, but Robbie's kind of a guy that, you know, I think that he's just the kind of guy that you would expect. He's Robbie.
Sure.
Right. It's pretty cool. But I don't know if they're gonna add. Or I've heard some rumblings about other things they could be doing though.
Okay, very cool. All right, yeah. Something to keep monitored. Sorry, everybody, that the voice is just
it's all good.
Like, the fact that I haven't needed to run and, like, clear my nose out in the last 54 minutes is a mini miracle in itself. So I promise the next time we talk, I won't sound like this.
I can tell you real quick that I have been so screwed up thinking all day. I said to my wife several times, thinking that this coming Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is like May already. Because the draft seems like it's earlier this year.
Way earlier.
Right?
Way earlier.
Thinking that, like, Tuesday night is May already. And I'm like, no, it's the following week is that May event. And oh my God, I'm totally screwed up. May 1st is on Thursday. And then May 14th, Wednesday night, is the schedule release. So as we transition, Matthew, we'll be having some schedule talk coming up.
I'm so ready. I'm so ready.
I know you are. I know you are. All right, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you to Tommy Perzamiso for joining us here. And it's always game day in Buffalo. Everybody, please go check out the fundraiser. Help out Tommy and others. And you can donate. You can go to the fundraiser if you're in Buffalo. And it's over at Wings Flights and Hope, I believe what it's called. Yes. And that's over in Orchard Park. So check it all out. We had the website for you that was put on the screen a little while ago. It's givebutter.com/C/TeamTommyFundraiser. In the meantime, thanks a lot for joining us, whether you're on audio on iTunes, Spotify, the Odyssey app, or anywhere else. And of course, Sal Sports on YouTube. Don't forget to go to Twitter at Sal Sports at Matt_Bove. Make sure you're subscribed to my tweets as well. Got the new subscriber service going on. I would love for you to be able to do that. We'll talk to you next time. And it's always game day in Buffalo.